The SpaceX mission to deliver supplies to the International Space Station was scrubbed just 81 seconds before launch yesterday. It was the first delivery attempt since the Antares rocket, a cargo rocket operated by Orbital Sciences, crashed just after launch. And that was back in October at Wallops Island, Virginia. Marcia Smith is the founder and editor of Space Policy Online. She joins me now with the latest on the SpaceX launch or non-launch and an update on Orbital Sciences' recovery plan for that failed mission. Marcia, good morning. Great to have you back.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me.
All right. So let's talk about what happened specifically yesterday. The launch was all set to go and they stopped it just before the liftoff.
Yes, they had a problem with part of a system on the second stage engine. It's called a thrust control actuator, and it steers the engine. And they determined that there was a problem with it, and if they had not manually called off the launch, then their automatic systems would have aborted the launch. And it's very disappointing, of course. NASA is very anxious to get this cargo up to the space station because the Antares launch failed in October. But one of the rules in the rocket business is that a delayed launch is always better than a failed launch. So it's probably a good idea that they waited until they were sure they could go.
Yeah, because when the one exploded on the launch pad last in October, the cargo was also lost, correct?
Yes, exactly. And there were some student experiments that they actually were able to build new ones of and get on this launch. But most of the cargo that was intended for the space station crew, of course, needs to be replaced. You need money to do that. The equipment that was aboard there, the tools and everything that were going up, some of them also they had replacement parts and they could put them on the SpaceX mission, but others are still being built. So it's a complex ballet that you have to go through when you have one of these failures, and that's what NASA's doing.
And I guess the space station can't wait forever to be resupplied.
No, you do have to get supplies up there. The United States terminated the Space Shuttle program in 2011, and that was a vehicle that had a lot of cargo capability up to space station. And so these so-called commercial cargo efforts by Orbital and SpaceX are meant to replace as much of that cargo capability as they can. And there are other cargo spacecraft. The Russians have one called Progress. The Japanese have one called the HTV. And Europe has been launching ones, but their last one has gone up. So you do need to have this cargo capability to support the six people who live aboard the space station.
So do you think NASA is a little bit nervous at this point that somebody can launch what they need to get up to the space station to get it resupplied?
Well, I don't know that they're nervous, but I think that they are hopeful that this launch is going to be able to go off on Friday. That is the tentative new launch date, although SpaceX has not yet confirmed that they're going to be ready to go on Friday.
And so if they don't go on Friday, do we know what their window is for trying again? Could it be a month or something?
Well, I don't know the exact plans after that. You have to schedule it not only in terms of when the space station crews are able to capture the spacecraft, which is called Dragon, and work that into the rest of their schedule, but you have to look at the other launches that are taking place from Cape Canaveral and fit this launch in with all the other launches of spacecraft and other things that go from the Eastern Test Range, and you have to look at the weather. So there are many factors that play into when you can try again.
So it seems like maybe you can sort this out for us, because I think Congress has trouble doing it, and maybe the American people do. But there's really kind of two sides of NASA at this point, aside from the purely astronomical exploratory type of stuff. But in terms of launching rockets that involve people, either serving people or having people aboard, they've got their long-term program for the asteroids and Mars, and that engine is under development. I guess it's a successor to what launched the shuttle in technology. Then they've got the short range to get to the space station, which they have decided as a strategy is farmed out to commercial. Is that pretty much a good way to describe how things stand right now?
Yes, the way NASA talks about it in terms of their human spaceflight program, there's the LEO program, which is low Earth orbit, which is where the International Space Station is, and then there's everything beyond that, and it's called Beyond LEO, taking astronauts beyond low Earth orbit, and that's to whatever destination the country chooses to go to. Right now, President Obama has directed NASA to send astronauts to an asteroid as the next step. But the long-term goal, and what you hear NASA talking about a lot, is that the ultimate goal is to get humans to Mars, but that's not for a very long time yet.
And so talking about the LEO part of all of this, a lot of it depends on engine development. And didn't Orbital Sciences, weren't they using very old Russian engines that they were refurbishing, of which there's a limited supply?
Orbital Sciences was using an old Russian engine called the MK-33, which was brought to the United States and refurbished by Aerojet Rocketdyne and got a new designation called the AJ-26. And there were some problems with that engine, and as part of its recovery plan from the October failure, Orbital has announced that they're going to replace that with another engine. And I have not yet heard Orbital announce formally what the new engine is going to be, but all the rumors in the trade press are that it's going to be a newer Russian engine. So they are going to replace the engine, and it's going to make the rocket have more lift capability. And Orbital already was developing a new version of its Cygnus spacecraft that could accommodate more cargo. So what Orbital's plan is that their contract with NASA requires them to launch 20 tons of cargo to the space station by the end of 2016. So they're going to consolidate the remaining amount of cargo that they need to launch into just 4 launches. And in the near term, they're going to buy those launches from another U.S. company called United Launch Alliance until their refurbished Antares rocket is ready next year. So they still plan to meet their contractual requirements of launching 20 tons of cargo to the space station by the end of 2016.
Well, I guess the logical question is, where does United Launch Alliance get its engines?
Well, United Launch Alliance operates the 2 biggest U.S. rockets called the Atlas V and the Delta IV. And the Atlas V actually relies on Russian engines. The Russians make very excellent engines. And the one for the Atlas V is called the RD-180. And it has been controversial since our geopolitical relationship with Russia has deteriorated. And they are under contract to buy more of these Russian RD-180 engines that will cover launches of the Atlas V until around 2017. And then there's going to be a new rocket engine developed for the Atlas V. And you mentioned earlier what NASA's plans are. So NASA separately is building a really big rocket that eventually will be even bigger than the Saturn V, and that's called the Space Launch System. And so that's NASA's effort for sending people beyond low Earth orbit, but the Atlas V and the Delta IV are for launching spacecraft into various places in Earth orbit, low Earth orbit, and geostationary orbit.
Marcia Smith is the editor and founder of SpacePolicyOnline.com. And so I guess this is probably a silly question, but when they get this long-term, big, giant rocket ready, could it launch, kind of stop at the space station, drop some stuff off, and keep going to Mars?
Well, when Congress authorized this program, they actually said that the new rocket, the Space Launch System, and its spacecraft, which is called Orion, which was tested last month, had to be developed as a backup to these commercial capabilities. But it's so expensive to launch something like that, and the SLS won't be ready until 2017 or 2018 anyway. And then the Orion, which could take people up there, won't be ready to launch on the SLS until 2021. So this is a much longer-term program. But by law, it has to be able to go to the space station, but it probably would be economically prohibitive to actually use it in that capacity.
That would be like flying a 747 from Dulles to Manassas Regional Airport or something.
Something like that, yes.
All right, so summing all of this up, what does the space, I guess you could call it the space industrial base, to play off defense industrial base, the SIB, if you will, is it sufficiently developed commercially such that it can support NASA in this whole LEO world?
Well, that is certainly the hope of the Obama administration. The idea of using commercial companies to launch cargo, especially, actually started under the George W. Bush administration, and it was followed through in the Obama administration, and that's where the SpaceX and the orbital vehicles come from. But NASA is now trying to do that also for crew. It's called Commercial Crew, and they just awarded some contracts, which just survived a protest from one of the losing companies. And so NASA and the Obama administration are hoping that these commercial efforts can provide capabilities at less cost than the traditional method of doing it through government contracting. But on the other hand, the new systems, the new big system for going beyond low Earth orbit, SLS and Orion, those are being done under the more traditional government contracts.
And the impediment to putting people on a U.S. launch to the space station is the when they get the manned version of all of this, has to be safer. Is the issue the engine part of it or the top part where the astronauts actually sit?
Well, you need to have a safe rocket, so you need to have engines and the rest of the rocket that you are confident in that it's going to succeed, especially if you're going to have a crew on top of it. And then you need to have the spacecraft with all the life support systems and some sort of safety system to take the crew away from the launch vehicle in case there is a failure. So that's what these new systems are being designed like. In some respects, they're like Apollo, where they go on top of the rocket instead of on the side of the rocket like the Space Shuttle Orbiter did.
Well, either way, I guess it's scary no matter what. Marcia Smith is the founder and editor of SpacePolicyOnline.com. As always, thank you so much for that analysis.
My pleasure.